Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than
gold. Happy Valentine's Day. I'm John Hutchison, filling in for Andrew McKay. Happy Friday. Got a great weekend coming up. We're going to talk about some things that are going to happen then. We've been giving Trump's report card, running through all the things he's done in the first 25 days and giving him grades on it. And you may agree with the grades or not. If you don't, or if you do, you can text us at 850-437-1620. We talked about the last thing about doing away with the penny. We gave him a C for that and said, you keep the penny for now. The next item on his report card is securing the southern border. Yes, I give him an A on that. Illegal entries are down 97%. So he gets an A for that. And then arresting illegal aliens who are criminals. Yes, show them the door. I give him an A for that. But, you know, if you're an illegal immigrant and you have no criminal record other than being an illegal immigrant, we may want to take a pause for those folks. If they've got a job, if they're being responsible, we may want to come up with a way to help them stay. I'm not so cold-hearted that I'd say if you've come across the border illegally, we're going to scoop you up and throw you back. Criminals, yes. Other folks, I think we need to have a pause on that. Let's look at that. But I give him an A for that overall effort. Canceling USAID, yes, burn it down. Totally corrupt. I give him an A-plus for that. It's unbelievable. Canceling all federal DEI programs, yes, burn it down. very divisive, very corrupt. I give him an A-plus for that. Buyouts for federal workers, yes. You can backfill essential jobs, and they're going to have to do that. It's not going to be easy, but I give him an A for that. Because there's a lot of waste, and there's a lot of folks sitting at home getting paid. Some of them have other jobs. And so, yes, I give him an A for that. No women in sports. Yes, duh. And I'm sorry, no men in women's sports. Thank you. no men in women's sports. Yes, duh. I mean, I give him an A-plus for that. And release the assassination files of JFK, RFK, and Martin Luther King Jr. Yes, it's about time. I give him an A for that. Transparency is what it's all about. The January 6th pardons. Yes, but I'm not sure he should have pardoned the ones who used violence, in the January 6th. So, and that's a little bit of there's a little bit of pettiness involved in that as well. I give him a C minus for that. Okay, you know, it's good, but it could have been better if he had not let the violent criminals out. Withdrawing from the Paris Climate Accords and the World Health Organization. Yes, I give him a B for that. Restoring 25% tariffs on steel and aluminum. Those were canceled by Biden. They're in effect before, so I give him a B for that. That needed to be done. Tariffs against Canada and Mexico, those have been delayed for now, but I think they're coming. I think he's doing it for negotiation reasons, and that's okay. I really wish there were no tariffs. I really wish we had free trade on imports and exports, let the international market set prices, but that's not the world we live in. So I give him a B. For the tariffs on Canada and Mexico, it may temporarily increase our prices. Hostage release. We got two from Russia and several from Hamas. I give him an A on that. That was a campaign promise. He's lived up to that. Negotiating to end the Gaza war. Yes, I give him an A on that as well. Russia was wrong to invade. But if we can end that and end people getting killed, but I think he needs to make sure he includes Ukraine in the talks. They've been left out of some of the early talks, so he needs to do that. Okay, so there's other things he's done, but those are all the items I graded him on. He's got 4 A pluses, 5 A's, 2 B pluses, 3 B's, 3 C's, and 1 C minus. It averages out to a B plus. So everything's relative. So if you compare what Trump has done in 25 days to all of what Biden did over 4 years, I think it's an A plus plus. He's already had more press conferences in 25 days than Biden had in 4 years, and he didn't pass out questions to reporters ahead of time with canned answers. So he's been busy. It's amazing how much he's done in 25 years, most of which I agree with. Some I scratch my head about, but overall, I think a big thumbs up. And I think most of America agrees with that. He has a 70% approval rating right now. And so that's that shows that they agree with that. All right, we're going to take a break. Traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. No accidents to let you know about right now. Taking a look at I-10, I-110, they're flowing smoothly, not seeing any delays. Even 98 going through Navarre and Gulf Breeze looks good. And Highway 90 coming to and from Pace into Pensacola and vice versa. It's all looking good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Looking for the perfect kitchen, bath, or flooring? At Home Outlet, we don't just promise the guaranteed lowest price, we back it up.
Yeah, but how low are we talking?
We'll beat any competitor's price by 10%.
That's wow. But okay, what makes your store better?
Funny you should ask. We're 100% employee owned. Everyone here has a stake in making your home projects affordable and stress-free.
So I'm getting expert advice, unbeatable prices, and I'm supporting employees who actually care?
Exactly. Why shop anywhere else? Home Outlet, kitchens, baths, floors, and more at the guaranteed lowest price. Visit us at homeoutlet.com today.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community.
This week, we'll talk about the three big things happening in Pensacola, including Pensacola Mardi Gras, SBC basketball, and this weekend's Pensacon.
Today at 9, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. It's Pensacon weekend, the Gulf Coast premier pop culture convention. Meet dozens of celebs, authors, attend panels, enjoy the live music and performances, and so much more. For ticket info, please see pensacon.com. Saturday night, enjoy the Pensacola Symphony's Bond and Beyond performance. Tickets are available at pensacolasymphony.com. Find more events and submit yours at newsradio923.com.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Chilly today, so we thought spring was here, but it's just fooling with us. So bundle up a little bit today when you go out. We've got a great weekend ahead of us. It's President's Day weekend, so a lot of folks have Monday off for Lincoln and Washington's birthday, so enjoy your three-day weekend. In the last segment, we went through a list of all the initiatives that Trump has begun in his first 25 days, which is pretty remarkable. And we graded him on that. We gave him an overall grade of B+. That may be upgraded as some of these things shake themselves out. But I think the amount of fraud and abuse that they have found is really ridiculous. And the federal bureaucracy is really scary. They've already identified more than $1 trillion in fraudulent payments. So if you want to look into that, there's a new website up, DOGE.gov, where they list all the things they're finding every day, all the contracts they're canceling. And this is an effort to have really complete transparency, and I think that's good. I think they 167 contracts they canceled yesterday, and these things are just ridiculous. I know you've heard them on some other outlets, but so it's a good thing. It's a good thing they're doing. But everything that DOGE is doing is testing some of our legal boundaries. The buyout offer for federal employees finally cleared a legal hurdle yesterday. A judge finally approved that, but. They were going to pay people through September, but Congress had not appropriated that money yet. They only appropriated the money through March, so you had a little back and forth there with the judge. So there's going to be some legal challenges here. There was another one last night. That's going to go on. But I think what Trump and Musk really hope to do is just get all this on the table. Let's get all these things that have been going on under the table. Let's get it out in the open. Let's sort it out. And I think this can be done. It's just going to take longer. Take more legal steps, and there may be some bumps along the way, but I think overall it's really, really a good thing. When you undertake something as big as tackling the federal bureaucracy, you can't tiptoe around. Clinton tried to tiptoe around with it. Obama tried to tiptoe around with it. Everybody tiptoed around Joe, but so they wouldn't wake him up. But when you undertake that, you can't tiptoe around. You have to turn over the tables. You have to run them out with a whip. and then see what needs to be done. So if nothing else, all this is helping the American people see the level and the depth of fraud, abuse, corruption in the federal government. And also is showing another side of some people that's really perplexing to me. Elizabeth Warren, Maxine Waters, Bernie Sanders, Chuck Schumer, to see them defending these agencies and their actions, I think they've made it clear they're not on our side. They're siding with the bureaucrats who are wasting our money, and I think sometimes those who complain the loudest may be those who have benefited the most from the present system. So I really scratch my head about that. We all should get behind this, at least identifying the fraud. Fraud is not good. It's wasting our money. And we may have to back up on some of these initiatives, but hopefully the legal challenges won't stop us from getting the waste and the fraud out of our government. So you can criticize the method that DOGE is using, and some are, but you really can't criticize the results. Already $1 trillion in fraud and abuse and waste being identified. So, and as I said, Trump's approval rating has never been higher, 53% from a recent CBS poll. So 70% of Americans say he's doing exactly what he promised. And I think some Democrats and some others may want to look at that before they just knee-jerk and oppose anything he does. So DOGE has opened the doors. They've turned on the lights, and the rats are running for cover. I think it's kind of where we are right now. But it's an amazing thing to watch from a political standpoint and from a history of our company standpoint and from what are they going to find next standpoint. So you can go to that website, doge.gov, and they'll tell you exactly what they're doing. So the national debt is $36 trillion. So, John, is the United States going broke?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, if you're in that much debt and we're not taking in that much money,
Well, every so often, you know, we're in debt $36 trillion. I saw there's a meter, you know, that goes, it shows you how much it's going up every second. And every so often, Congress kind of extends that debt ceiling so we can go further and further into debt. We've done that four times in the last 12 years. So about every 3 years, we have to increase the amount we're willing to go into debt. Right now, we're at $36 trillion. And that is a concern. And we'll have to increase that debt ceiling again, I believe, in March. But are we going broke? Well, actually, no. The debt's a concern because it does increase inflation. Our national debt has gone up about 50% in the last few years. We pay interest on that debt, too. That average interest has gone up from 1.6% in 2021, and right now it's 3.5% this year. So the interest we're paying on that debt has gone up. That's a concern. The bigger worry is that interest that we pay on the debt, that could be used to fund other budgets, to be used to reduce tax levels, be used to do more federal programs. So the debt is a concern. But it amounts to only about 3% of our gross domestic product, and that's why the experts say, no, actually, we're not going broke. And yes, it's a lot of money, and yes, we should be concerned about lowering it, but it doesn't mean we're going broke because our gross domestic product is only about 3% of that. $36 trillion is a lot, but it's only 3%. So I think if you had to look at it like this, John, if I borrow $100, which is basically what we're doing with the debt, we're selling debt, but I have assets of $100,000, it's really no big deal. In terms of my ability to pay it back. Where you get into trouble is your ability when you can no longer pay it back. And that's kind of where the United States is. And that's not a perfect analogy because there's some other factors there. No analogy is perfect, but that's a good way to look at it. So it's really not like a household budget. And the reason I say that is we can print our own money. You and I can't print our own money, but the United States.
I was like, yes, let's rock and roll, buddy.
Yeah. We can print our own currency, which means we really can't go broke. But the more we print, the more we print and spend, the worse and the less that it's worth. So prices go up, inflation. Mm-hmm. We saw that with the Biden administration. So, again, the debt is a concern. But as long as the economy is growing, actually the debt should be growing as well because that's a smart way to run your company, run your country. But remember, the U.S. debt is bought by investors, bonds. So the investors are making money on the debt, and they're reinvesting that into current assets. So, yes, the debt is a concern. Yes, we need to lower it as much as we can. But are we going broke? Probably not. The biggest worry is inflation, and we got to get a handle on that. So, all right, class dismissed. There's your economics class.
Wow, that's pretty good. I mean,
yeah, we're not going broke. But we need to get the debt under control. There's a lot of folks working on that, obviously. And egg prices have gone up because of bird flu. Okay, so it's not Biden's fault. It's not Trump's fault. It's dead chicken's fault.
18 eggs cost me $7 the other day.
Unbelievable.
And I love eggs way too much. I'm like,
They're good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that doesn't have anything to do with anything that's going on other than bird flu and dead chickens. So, all right, let's go to John with traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by me. I'm sorry about that. All right. Here we go. I-10, I-110 are looking good. Not seeing any accidents on the big board right now. Highway 90 is even flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
John, traffic's flowing smoothly on this Valentine's Day. Let's go to Steve Taylor with some news.
Well, good morning and happy Valentine's Day. 14 states are suing President Trump and Elon Musk for unlawful delegation of executive power. That lawsuit was filed yesterday and it argues that Trump's DOGE agency and the authority being given to the SpaceX CEO are unconstitutional. Arizona, Michigan, and Rhode Island are among the states who have joined that suit. Manhattan's top federal prosecutor resigned after the Department of Justice ordered corruption charges to be dropped against New York City Mayor Eric Adams. Republican Danielle Sassoon announced her resignation Thursday in an email without giving an explanation for that. You may have to pay more for chocolate. You were talking about the cost of eggs, but chocolate also is going up, of course, especially on Valentine's Day because of a global cocoa shortage. The cost of chocolate is up about 20% this year because of record high cocoa prices. Cocoa, in case you were wondering, is harvested mostly in West Africa, where cocoa crops have been hit hard recently by climate change and disease causing those prices to skyrocket. So maybe better get your chocolate too while you, if you find it cheap enough. This being Valentine's Day, maybe I don't know. I love chocolate too, by the way. And that's what's happening. I'm Steve Taylor on News Radio 92.3.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Glad to have you with us this morning. I'm John Hutchison filling in for Andrew McKay. It's Valentine's Day, February the 14th. It's cold outside. I got a long President's Day weekend coming up, so I hope you got plenty of things planned. We got some texts in here. I thought I'd read those. This fellow says, now that they're cutting billions of dollars of fraud, they shouldn't need me to pay my income tax right now, right?
Oh, I wish.
I probably wouldn't try that. But
it's a good idea.
It's a good idea. And I saw something yesterday, too. The governor of Florida has said he would support a constitutional amendment that would do away with property taxes in the state of Florida. He thinks the state budget could handle that. Local budgets could handle that. You'd have other taxes, but he supports the notion of doing away with property taxes because everybody doesn't pay them. We need to get a constitutional amendment on the ballot. 60% need to approve it, and that would be awesome. Somebody here says, I disagree with you on the penny. I said that I think they should just continue to make the penny. This person says, I think all coins should be done away with except for the quarter. Okay. So everything would be $6.25, $1.25, $2.25. Okay, pricing is just a marketing tool so they could round up or round down to 50 cents or a quarter. Then pardoning everyone on January 6th, I think, was because he knows more than we do, probably so.
And that's probably true.
That's probably true. And I think a lot of it was done just to make a political point. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think that will come out later, and then you'll see indictments on governmental officials. Okay, good. Thanks for those comments. Hey, on a penny, I saw somebody suggest that we just, instead of having coins, since they cost so much to make, the issue is how much it costs to make them. So let's just make a cheaper form of currency. And they suggested something like a stamp book, okay, where you would have penny stamps, nickel stamps, dime stamps, quarter stamps. It would be easy to counterfeit that, but then again, who's going to counterfeit pennies? I mean, you know.
Well, you do enough of it, man.
I guess if you do that. But, I mean, that's a way to lower the cost. And still have some protections in there. So
interesting. Yeah. Interesting theory.
We'll see that. Somebody else says here, good morning, Mr. John. Always a pleasure to hear you on the radio. Your report card is spot on. Signed, your old friend from Gulf Power, Jack Erholzer. Jack's a great guy. Thank you, Jack. Thanks for listening this morning. Thank all of you for listening this morning. The Daytona 500 is Sunday. Switch gears and talk about that for a minute. Denny Hamlin is the favorite. Are you a NASCAR fan, John?
Oh, I am. But Kevin Harvick is, you know, he retired and everything. I was a huge Kevin Harvick fan.
Ah, okay.
But I still watch the Daytona 500.
Yeah, it'll be Sunday. 40 cars going in a circle.
I know. Go straight, turn left. Go straight, turn left. Have you ever been on Daytona's track?
I have not.
Okay, the degree of banking is crazy. Like, I get to take some laps with Kevin Harvick, and it was just crazy, going 200 miles an hour, screaming like a schoolgirl.
Well, then Sunday, I know where you'll be.
Yeah, for sure.
I like NASCAR, but to me, it's like, call me when there's 10 laps to go. You know, well, I should go around and circle 500 times.
Yeah, but the big one might happen.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
But that's Sunday here in Florida. Denny Hamlin is the favorite. He's the only one who's won it three times that's going to be in the race. So make sure you catch that. All right. Let's see what's coming up in the news, Steve.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. The Trump administration starts mass layoffs. Nearly all federal employees with less than a year on the job still on probationary status without civil service protection are being let go.
The government began firing hundreds of people at multiple agencies, continuing the Trump administration's efforts to streamline federal job positions and to cut costs. Termination emails have been sent out to federal workers, a move that comes after tens of thousands of them accepted buyout offers.
Fox's Kevin Cork. Vice President Vance meets with Ukraine's President Zelensky at a security conference in Munich, Germany today. Earlier, with NATO's Secretary General.
We want to make sure that NATO is actually built for the future, and we think a big part of that is ensuring that NATO does a little bit more burden sharing in Europe so the United States can focus on some of our challenges in East Asia.
Defense Secretary Hesketh, meantime, says in Poland that it can't be assumed American military presence in Europe will last forever. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning and happy Valentine's Day. It's 6:31 right now, 47 degrees and clear. I'm Steve Taylor in for David Wayne on News Radio 92.3. It looks like snowmageddon delayed more than 4 days of school work and stopping traffic on I-10. It also meant a delay for the city in receiving demolition bids on the old Baptist Hospital campus downtown. Mayor D.C. Reeves told News Radio that bid packages won't be received until February the 27th.
And so what that means is we'll have an indication of the overall project cost. With five qualified bidders, and whether, you know, the funding that we've procured is sufficient enough to get the demolition done. We feel pretty good about it.
Mayor Reeves says a bid should be selected by April the 3rd. State authorities seized 29 pounds of cocaine after stopping a white cargo van Wednesday in Escambia County. Those drugs were seized by officers with the Florida Department of Agriculture. And the van was stopped after it bypassed an agricultural interdiction station in Escambia County. The street value of the seizure is $24,000 a bundle, with a total street value of $264,000. Authorities discovered a crate holding a large plastic box filled with spray foam that had not solidified, and 11 bricks of cocaine with a total weight of 29.2 pounds that was concealed beneath that foam. The state says the crate had been picked up from a storage unit in El Paso, Texas, and was destined for a location in South Florida. A federal judge restored President Donald Trump's buyouts for federal employees on Wednesday, and some employees at Pensacola's VA clinic have decided to take advantage of the offer. The clinic already is operating at 140% capacity, with more than 36,000 veterans enrolled, and staff and veterans say the program is already causing some issues when it comes to care. While there are not any exact numbers, Channel 3 News was told at least six employees, including doctors, took the buyout offer. But the VA has identified more than 130 positions within that agency that are not eligible. Medical officer or physician is on that list, and that's unclear what it means for the three doctors who accepted the buyout, which is causing some confusion. The number of people seeking unemployment benefits is up in Florida. The U.S. Labor Department reports nearly 6,500 jobless claims were filed last week, which is an increase of more than 500 from the previous week. Nationally, first-time unemployment claims dropped by 7,000 to 213,000. Jobless claims are seen as a proxy for layoff activity. Well, looks like it's a beautiful morning. Let's check that forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be looking at a beautiful day for this Valentine's Day. Temperatures warming up near 66 degrees for your high, partly cloudy skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 62 degrees. Heading into Saturday, cloudy skies with a 10% chance of a stray sprinkle. Otherwise, very warm and humid with a high near 75 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 57 degrees. Showers and thunderstorms moving in very early on Sunday morning. We will be watching for a threat of severe weather through those early morning hours on Sunday. By Sunday afternoon, mostly sunny with a high near 69 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, let's check in with John Pickens for traffic on the fives.
That's right. No new accidents to let you know about right now. Looking at I-10, I-110, they are looking good. Starting to see some delays at the intersection of Highway 29 and 9 Mile. So just be aware of that. Also, 98 is actually looking good through Navarre and through the Garcon Point area. Great also. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks, John. Right now, 47 degrees in Pensacola, 46 in Gulf Breeze, and 45 in Milton at 6:35. The next news is at 7. Breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
You know, one of the things that I appreciate about Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty is they do all these little things, and all the little things add up to big differences in the results. And there's one kind of example of that that's always stuck with me that Christina told me about. Is she says, look, when somebody comes and looks at one of my houses and they don't make an offer, what I do is I call the agent and I say, you know, hey, I saw the person looked at the house and, you know, didn't make an offer. What did they think? Or what didn't they like? Or, you know, what happened? And then let them talk. And they'll say, well, the price was too high. Or they'll say, it didn't fit my family's needs. Or I didn't like the layout of the living room. Or, you know, whatever. And then what Christina learns from that is what might be the impediments that knowing this can help her sell that house in the future. Or, oh, well, we can fix that. If we fix that, would they be interested? Maybe they would be. You might even be able to turn it into a sale. I mean, that's a little thing. It's sort of obvious. Everybody should do it. But she actually does that. And it's all those little things that make for big results. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, 723-9158.
The Studer Community Institute, with many others, is dedicated to creating America's first early learning city right here in Pensacola. To do that, Rishi and I built the United States' first early learning sensory garden right at the corner of Bailing Street and Main Street. Yep, right by the Brew Through. Bring your child. Not only will they have fun, but they'll also learn a lot. And while you're there, you can have a coffee or a smoothie or a bite to eat. So please, bring your child down to the Brew Through to the Early Learning Sensory Garden. Thank you.
NAS Wedding Field is a major training facility for our United States military. It produces more than 1,200 pilots a year and is the home to the largest air wing in the U.S. Navy and produces 100% of all Navy, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard helicopter pilots. But NAS Wedding Field has a lot more to offer and makes a huge impact to our local community. Tune in this Monday at 9 to hear what's happening at NAS Wedding Field on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, Pensacola. I'm John Hutchison, filling in for Andrew McKay. We're glad you joined us here on this Valentine's Day. Hope you've got something planned special for your Valentine's. And as I said earlier, if you don't have one, just know that we here at News Radio 92.3, we love you. And so send us some donuts, right? Yeah. We haven't gotten any donuts yet, so that hadn't worked so far, John, but I'm still hoping. Hey, right now we have on the phone Dr. Norm Haynes. He's a retired gastroenterologist, but we want to talk not about that. We want to talk to him about being a local historian. He does Pensacola Heritage Foundation lectures every other Tuesday at the right place, 11 a.m., and they're very, very, very interesting. So I would encourage you to check that out. So we have very long believed here in Pensacola that we were the first European settlement in what is now the United States. And we've said San Augustine was the first permanent settlement. I think the mayor even talked about sending up an airplane with a banner that said that at some point. But that's been our beliefs, that we've been the first settlement. And that history has been sort of a source of pride for us. And UWF's done great work at finding the DeLuna ships, and including the settlement. But good morning, Dr. Haynes.
Good morning, John.
But you say, and history says, we were not the first. Explain.
Well, in researching Spanish history for one of my lectures, I came across the story of Lucas Vasquez de Ayllon. He was a Spaniard. He was born in lived during the golden age of Spanish exploration. He was one of those who longed to be a conquistador and then go out for adventure. So he comes in the early 1500s. He goes to the West Indies. He becomes a very wealthy sugar planter. He's made a judge of the colonial administration in Hispaniola, which is modern-day Santo Domingo. So he now has the money and wherewithal to fulfill his dream. So he sends out two expeditions to explore the eastern seaboard of what would become the United States in order to gain knowledge. On the first expedition, they captured some natives and brought them back as slaves. But on the second one, they captured made friends with the native population and brought some back to become translators for the Spanish, for the Indians, and preparing for what Ayllon would begin in 1526.
In 1526, he set out
on his expedition to establish a colony in America. He had three ships. He had 600 settlers that included 100 enslaved Africans, but it had food and livestock with pigs, cows, sheep, 100 horses. And he lost one of the ships on the way, but two of the ships made it to the eastern seaboard. And he went inland a short distance and established a colony. They built homes. They built a church. It was along a river. He made friends with the local native population. And so this truly became the first Spanish attempted settlement in the New World, in what would become the United States.
How big was this expedition, Dr. Haynes?
Well, it was large. He had 600 settlers, and so 100 of those were slaves. So it was certainly large enough to establish a significant settlement population that could survive in that environment.
So he was 1526. When was DeLuna in Pensacola?
1559. So he was 33 years before Don Tristan de Luna's expedition to attempt to settle in Pensacola.
Okay.
Significant distance.
Yeah. And we think this was somewhere in the northern Georgia, South Carolina area.
Well, that's the problem. With the historians and researchers have not identified the exact site of the settlement. Modern day thinking is that it was either off the coast of Georgia and Sapelo Island, but most people think it was Santa Elena, which is modern day Paris Island, off the coast of South Carolina. Mm-hmm.
But they haven't found the settlement or the ships like we've done here in Pensacola yet, I guess.
They haven't, and that's what gives us credibility. Although Ayllon was 33 years ahead of Luna, they haven't identified where the site was. Now, they were there over the spring and summer in a very harsh winter. Many of them perished, and in the spring, they abandoned their settlement, and 150 of the 600 survived to go back to Spain and report on the expedition. So that's how we have knowledge that it occurred and roughly where it was from the documents that exist.
We're talking to Dr. Norm Haynes with Pensacola Heritage Foundation, local historian. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with Dr. Haynes telling us about the real first settlement by Europeans in the United States. Stay with us.
That's right. We're doing Traffic on the Fives, brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your premium landscaping needs. No accidents to let you know about that's going to hamper your way in this morning on your commute. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly, not even seeing backups on 90. Just a small one on 98, just east of the Navarre Beach Bridge, but that's due to construction, but it's still looking good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
It's Creative Month and National Embroidery Month at Darrell Sewing of Pensacola, with hot buys on embroidery machines through February 28th. Quiltoni will be there on March the 1st for a Bargello class and pixel quilting. And don't forget, the quilt show is coming up March 28th and 29th at the Pensacola Interstate Fairgrounds. Darrell's the largest sewing machine dealer in the area, and financing is available. Darrell Sewing, 6705 North Davis Highway between Creighton and Burgess, or online at sewinginpensacola.com.
At PennAir Credit Union, we know that road trips don't start by driving into the sunset. A day at the beach doesn't begin with packing the car. Even car shopping doesn't really start at the dealership. Your new car journey begins with an auto loan pre-approval from PennAir Credit Union, because at PennAir, auto financing is easy. And when you get pre-approval before you shop, you'll be ready to hit the road when you find the perfect car. Get started at PennAir.org/car loan. Whether it's new, used, or refinanced, vehicle loans from PennAir Credit Union fit you perfectly. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender.
Did you know you can get your prescriptions for less at your local pharmacy? You can with GoodRx. It's the free app that can save you money on your medications. Just search for your prescription, choose the pharmacy and the price that works best for you, and then show your GoodRx coupon to your pharmacist at the drop-off counter. GoodRx works at over 70,000 pharmacies, including Walmart, Rite Aid, and Walgreens, and it works whether you have insurance or not. It's easy to save. Next time you drop off your prescription, check GoodRx. To start saving today, go to GoodRx.com. GoodRx is not insurance.
Ladies, are you looking to make a big difference in the new year? I'm Martha Holden, president of Impact 100 Pensacola Bay Area, a woman's philanthropic group that has awarded over $17 million to nonprofit organizations in our community. Women 18 and older are invited to upcoming meet and mingle events, with March 1st as our membership deadline. For details, check us out on Facebook or visit impact100pensacola.org.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
Good morning, Pensacola. I'm John Hutchison. I'm sitting in for Andrew McKay today. Thank you for joining us. It's Valentine's Day. We've got a great show for you today. Right now we've got on the phone Dr. Norm Haynes, a local historian. And he is telling us that DeLuna was not the first settlement in the New World in Pensacola. And that was news to me. I witnessed a presentation that he gave last week, and I thought, we need to talk about this on the radio. So, Dr. Haynes, thank you for joining us this morning.
Well, my pleasure. Thank you.
So you were telling us that the first settlement was by Alian. Say the name for me again.
It's Ayon, not great on Spanish, but it's A-Y-L-L-O-N.
Okay, Ayon. All right, so he came. He had 600 settlers. He had livestock, pigs, horses, cows, sheep, and he landed, they think, someplace around South Carolina. So, and I guess they built a settlement there. Is that right?
Yes. They had a settlement. They built a church and had a mass, which may well have been the first mass performed by the Spanish in a settlement area in the New World. He had two Franciscan priests with him on the journey.
So we haven't actually found the ships or the site, but we have a historical record, and that's what this information is based from. Is that right?
Yes, there were 150 survivors out of the original 600 that finally in the spring abandoned the settlement and came back home. He is a local historian at the time was analyzing what the problem was, and very interesting. He said that Ion took on an expedition to a place that he knew little about and did not prepare adequately for it, which sounds very familiar. We talk about that with Luna.
Yeah.
Coming to Pensacola was really not prepared for the environment that he was attempting to settle.
Well, it points out that it was a tough mission to undertake in both cases. In both cases, they had boats that sank. Of course, the Luna was from a hurricane that really set that settlement back just from day one. And this settlement, why did it fail? The one in South Carolina, Georgia, we're not quite sure. What was its downfall?
Well, early in the late fall, early winter, Ion dies, and he dies there. So they lost their leadership. It was taken over by a military person, and there was a huge debate. Many of the people wanted to immediately, before the harsh winter, go back home. Gomez, who took over, wanted to stay and stick it out. And they actually had a rebellion, a mutiny. He was arrested. And it was the slaves who wanted to stay as well, and they had an uprising. They imprisoned those settlers who wanted to leave, and then reinstated Gomez as the leader of the community, and they did stay over the winter. It was a mistake. It was a harsh winter for them. They ran out of food. Many of them died of starvation and deprivation from the environment.
So we had a slave rebellion. We had sickness. We had the death of the leader. It sounds like a long string of bad luck, and it sounds, as you said, kind of like what DeLuna went through here with hurricanes and the other challenges he had. So, but I do think it's fascinating that long believed that Pensacola was the first. I've told many people that. My family gets tired of me talking about the history of Pensacola and the Luna ships and the relics that you can see at the museum. About how that's part of our history. And I tell them we have more history than any other city in the United States. Well, maybe not, except we have more documented history, I think is the way you can put it. Is that the way you would put it?
Yes, and I don't mean to demean what we have here. We should be very proud. The correct statement is Pensacola was one of the earliest attempted Spanish settlements in what would become the United States. And what sets us apart, we have the earliest documented site where it was. No one else can say that. Thanks to UWF and their archaeology team, we know exactly where Luna landed, where he set up his settlement. We've identified the position of some buildings, and we have identified some of the ships. And no other city can say that, and we certainly are one of the earliest in that. It's just that we can't say we were the first attempted settlement in what would become the United States.
Well, Dr. Haynes, thanks for clearing that up for us this morning. That's really interesting. I would encourage you, Dr. Haynes, as I said, has a lecture series with Pensacola Heritage Foundation. It's every, I think it was every Tuesday, 11 o'clock. At Rice Street. So look that up. There's a long list of great speeches coming up, great lectures coming up. The Black Widow and the Witch Doctor is the next one that I think is interesting. A Tale of Two Hangings, Pirates and Privateers, lots of great subjects that they're covering at the Pensacola Heritage Foundation Lecture Series. So I would encourage you to go online at pnsheritage@yahoo.com. And check that out and go down and listen to Dr. Haynes. He does a great job. He has cleared something up for us. Pensacola was not the first European settlement in the New World. It was someplace up in South Carolina. But we have the most well-documented information on DeLuna, and that's a credit to Dr. Judy Bentz, a credit to UWF, who's done a great job with their archaeological program. So, Dr. Haynes, thank you for joining us this morning, and we'll hope to see you at one of those Pensacola Heritage Foundation lectures. Thank you so much this morning.
Thank you, John.
All right, that was Dr. Norm Haynes explaining why Pensacola is not the first U.S. settlement.
Very interesting information.
Very interesting. A fellow named Ion It's A-L-L-Y-O-N, I believe is the way you spell it, was the first.
Mm-hmm.
With 600 Spanish folks came from Hispaniola with slaves and horses and cows and pigs and tried to make it work, and it didn't work, much like the DeLuna story. So, all right, let's go to traffic on the fives with John.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are actually flowing smoothly still this morning. Traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right, let's go to Steve Taylor with some news.
Well, good morning and happy Valentine's Day. The Israeli government says Hamas needs to release 3 hostages on Saturday, or the Gaza ceasefire deal is going to come to an end. The Palestinian militant group had been threatening to delay the scheduled hostage release over alleged Israeli ceasefire violations. Yesterday, though, Hamas released a statement saying it's going to release the hostages as planned. California is getting drenched by an atmospheric river off the Pacific coast. The heavy rainstorm caused road closures and evacuations around the San Francisco Bay Area yesterday, and evacuation orders are still in effect for parts of Southern California scarred by the wildfires. NASA says an asteroid up to 300 feet across could hit Earth in a few years. While the chances are still slim, probability of the impact has gone up since being discovered a few weeks back. It's now currently about 2%. The number has doubled from an initial estimate in late January. NASA estimates the asteroid measures about 130 feet and 300 feet across, but the impact would basically be more than likely if it does hit, it'll cause only local damage. Of course, if it falls on your house, that could be kind of messy.
Yeah, that'd be kind of local damage, all right.
But they say it's not nearly enough to threaten the entire planet, kind of like what happened to the dinosaurs 65 million years ago. And that's what's happening.
Thanks, Steve.
All right. Good morning. I'm John Hutchison filling in for Andrew McKay. Thank you, Steve. In the newsroom, we just talked to Dr. Norm Haynes, who told us that DeLuna was not the first in Pensacola. I found that very interesting. You can go to the Pensacola Heritage Foundation website and I think see that presentation. So thank you, Dr. Haynes, for joining us. Hey, today is Valentine's, and I hope you've taken care of your Valentine's. But also something that to me is, don't tell my wife, but this is more exciting to me than Valentine's Day. College baseball season opens today.
We won't tell her.
And I love college baseball.
Well, I bet she knows. I bet she knows by now.
She probably does. I've already bought peanuts. You know, when I start buying the peanuts and getting ready to, she knows college baseball season is near. Well, it starts today. As usual, the SEC is expected to have the best team. 6 of the top 10 teams in the USA Today poll are all SEC teams. Texas A&M is ranked number 1, Tennessee number 2, LSU number 3. Arkansas, Georgia, Florida, all in the top 10. Florida State, for you Florida State fans, ranked number 6.
Wow.
So there we go. So lots of great baseball in the South. The SEC has won 5 of the last College World Series in a row. Tennessee won it last year, LSU in 2023, then Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Vandy. So when it comes to college baseball, the SEC is king. And I think that's because we can practice down here year-round.
That is true. I mean, the northern schools really can't do that.
They struggle with that. I'm an LSU fan, and we normally start out playing Maine or Michigan, East Michigan or something like that, because those schools come down here. We played a team one year, the first time the team had been on a baseball field outside was when they started the game against LSU it's so cold up there.
Right.
So LSU plays today. They play Purdue Fort Wayne. Okay, so I don't ask
University
me.
Of Purdue, at Fort Wayne.
Yeah.
They have a baseball team?
I guess.
Okay.
You know? But that's one reason I like college baseball, because every game kind of matters. You know, Major League Baseball, you play 195,000 games, and so every game doesn't have the significance that that it does in college baseball. So whether you lose a game really doesn't matter a whole lot in Major League Baseball, but it does in college baseball. And I think there's nothing more boring than a 1-0 Major League Baseball game. I mean, it's just drags on. They score a lot more runs in college, and I like the excitement better. And they have a great College World Series. So college baseball starts today. Blue Wahoo season starts April 4th. So get your bats out, get your gloves out, and let's go. All right. I'm John Hutchison. Thank you for joining us this morning.